Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
What? I said I just was explaining to our guest the last two things you told me I should have told her earlier.
When did I tell you you would do them?
Now, you told me when you came in earlier that I would forget.
And do them when?
Well, right as we went on the air.
On the air, right. So I rest my case. All right.
Well, sorry to drag you through this. Your case needs a
rest. Joe, and he's always doing this. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We're going to start out with busy phones this morning, but we'll open them up after our break. When the time comes, you'll call 570-743-WKOK if you have a brief question for our guest. Anytime, you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Six include the keyword OTM. The brand new state representative in the 107th district is here. She's a Republican, comes from the Higgins Valley. Higgins proper, per se, is that an incorporated borough or just a region down there?
It's a Higgins Township, yeah.
Higgins Township, okay, so that's what that's the municipality she's from. And now there is a state house office in Higgins. I saw the ribbon cutting pictures and
yes,
everything on
correct,
your Facebook
yeah.
page, so you got that down there. Joanne Stair is the brand new representative, and she's got a district that's kind of shifted out of Montour County and farther into Schuylkill County, and that's the 107th district that Kurt Mosser held until he stepped down. So welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything you'd like to say to our audience in advance? You're talking to your entire listening areas within, or your entire service areas within our listening area.
Well, again, 4 months into it, I'm absolutely humbled and appreciative of the amount of support I've continued to have. I'm very lucky to have the specific area that I'm covering, the lower end of Northumberland County, which has just been wonderful. We're welcomed in Shamokin with open arms. People were very supportive of bringing the office down to Shamokin in downtown, right in the center of everything. We also have our satellite offices over in Herndon, Dalmatia area. We're going to be doing kind of town halls and per needs in the Pine Grove area, and of course we have the office in Higgins. So we're just getting situated. We're fully staffed. We're ready to serve our constituents.
Now, you knew what your state representative used to do and kind of how they behaved and how they acted and so on. Did you have any idea that this is what it would be like to be a state representative?
Well, I'll tell you what. It is really hard. I am going from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9, 10 o'clock at night. There's always something going on and something you always perceive to be... If it's important to them, it's important to you. So that's kind of where I've been going, morning, noon, and night. And I couldn't be happier to do it. The Harrisburg situation, I think it's a lot of drama, to say the least. I think that's where I was shocked the most, you know, just to see just kind of how dysfunctional some things can ride along down there. It's been an eye-opener.
Well, is the people's business getting done in the House these days?
It is. It's very. It's going to be very difficult to get anything on the Republican side done at this point with being in the minority. We have a lot of Democratic legislation, a lot of liberal bills going through that maybe would not be supported by the Republicans at this time.
Well, there was quite a bit of activity yesterday with respect to gun control.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, discussions on this program for the last 17 years about common sense gun laws that will make us safer. Is there anything that was proposed in Harrisburg yesterday that you felt was common sense that would make us safer?
Well, I'm 100% Second Amendment. Do not infringe means just that. If we start opening up our constitutional amendments, to discussion, I think that's where we're going to start finding you give them an inch, they take a yard. And that's been my stance all along. I've had tons of emails and letters saying, Joanne, do not support any kind of gun law, gun bans, gun anything. And I'm that these are the people who voted me in, and I am their voice, and that's where I will stand 100% behind any kind of laws or anything going through. Anti-gun laws will not be something I'll be voting with, amendments.
Would you consider a red flag law an anti-gun law?
Red flag laws are to the most part unconstitutional, in my opinion. You know, there are people who should not have guns out there, and I think that's a question that we need to consider. But you know, when it comes right down to it, you have a neighbor dispute or something like that going on in your neighborhood, and they want to get back at you and call the cops and say, oh, they're unstable or whatever. You know, it can be used. Putting that into legislation could be unconstitutionally used against you for no apparent reason.
But there was an amendment yesterday to make it a felony to give a false report. Does that do anything to ameliorate your concerns?
Well, certainly that would help. But, you know, they're pushing that now to try to get legislation like that across the board. But would it really happen? You know, a lot of the amendments were shot down. They were withdrawn. And, you know, so you can't really count on that. Once it's in, it's in. So I feel as a constitutional Republican, I just think we don't open that door to step on any kind or infringe on any of our Second Amendment rights.
This might be an unfair question because I think you voted on 300 things yesterday.
Yes, but we did.
Do you remember any other amendments to the gun laws that were proposed that Republicans supported? I know all the Republicans supported that making it a felony to falsely turn in somebody for a red flag. Do you remember any of the other ones?
And I think a lot of them were withdrawn. It was...
Yeah, I mean, it was only
quickly.
9 hours of
yeah,
rapid
it was nine
fire.
Hours. They'd get up there. We'd hear like 6 hours of speeches on their proposal and why they wanted these amendments to go through and stuff like that. And a lot of I will be a no on any kind of legislation. Do not infringe means just that. We start opening up our constitutional amendments to interpretation by maybe a liberal majority. I think that's where we're going to find ourselves really getting in trouble, because if when they get the red flag passed, next thing you know is they're going to go on to the next and the next, just like they did with abortion. You know, it's okay for 24 weeks, but now we can abort a baby, you know, to the day before birth. It's
you
ridiculous.
Acquiesce to the 24 weeks as
yes.
a pro-life person, but you'll say that's okay in Pennsylvania?
I'm not saying that's okay. You know, a child becomes viable, a baby becomes viable at 20 to 21 weeks. So that's a viable child you're aborting. You know, so I'm a pro-life stance. I stand by that. My majority of my constituents who voted me in, that is their voice. Are there exceptions to the rules? The liberals will not tell you. They're telling people if you would have an ectopic pregnancy. So let me use that as an example. An ectopic pregnancy, they would let you lay there and hemorrhage to death. And it's like, no. There's always going to be exceptions to the rules for abortions. A lot of times in a multiple pregnancy, you'll have one fetus that did not survive. It needs to be aborted. You know, these are languages. Abortion will always be in our language. You know, but aborting a perfectly healthy fetus, in my book, at 24 weeks, which is a viable child, is really crossing the line for me.
You had mentioned, Joe had mentioned gun safety. Joe, mention that idea about gun safety or gun usage or gun-related calls, if you can, in Shamokin
Dam. No, that's not for the public.
Okay. So people, well, regardless of that, mm-hmm. then, people have concerns about gun safety. You know, gun-related calls are more common for law enforcement region-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything that can be done about that? And maybe doesn't relate to gun laws. Maybe it's something else.
Well, and I think we have tons of gun laws already on the books. I just think they need to be enforced. I think that's a lot of our problem. There are illegal guns out there. We need to start capturing them, arresting people who are carrying guns illegally. But legal, law-abiding citizens should always have the right to protect themselves.
Well, you
and now, more than ever, with the crime rates and some of the crimes that are being committed.
Will you support my mandatory packing law that requires everyone to carry a gun?
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Okay, thank you. Good.
You know,
see,
we've
got two cockamamie guests on the show.
I actually think gun safety is important. As a woman, I've been around guns all my life. My brothers are hunters. I've been around guns all my life. Do I feel like Wyatt Earp, I can go walking around with a gun? I don't know how I would feel. Part of our outreach program is gun safety courses for women who feel like they want to carry a gun or are in situations. Walking around the streets of Harrisburg, I find myself in this thing like, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a gun hanging on me. And I do have my carrying permit.
Boy, I feel unsafe. Both of you have carry permits, and I don't.
Well, you know, it's a constitutional, you know.
Necessarily.
I think it's a right we should all have to protect ourselves and our families. As a single mother in a rural area, you know, you never know what kind of nut's going to come walking up on your porch, and you're out there vulnerable.
Let me ask you, your background is as a nurse.
Yes.
And, you know, you what committees have you been assigned to? Anything involving health? Or?
Office of Senior Services. So that would be great, especially up here in Northumberland County. I have a soft spot for our veterans, and they commingle as an agency. So that is going to be exciting to see, you know, what I can do in that arena. And also liquor control. So. I don't know if they were sending me a message like they think I'm an old drunk, but I don't. but certainly, I look forward to all aspects of serving on the liquor control as well as the Office of Aging.
Well, liquor control, that's still being run by our former congressman, isn't it?
Timmy Holden.
Timmy Holden, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He did a great job when he was our congressman around here. So
Timmy, I didn't know who you knew him.
I don't know him that well. Joanne knows him.
I know Timmy Holden, actually.
Timmy
Holden, you know, he had a great support from both the Republican and the Democrat Party. And everybody says, oh, we don't have a congressman like Timmy Holden. And I said, you know what? He promised everybody. And I'm not trying to sell him under the bus because now I'm going to be working with him on the liquor control. But his first vote was an anti-gun bill, and he voted with party versus his constituents' voice. And I think that is a something I want to keep in my mind. People voted me in, you know, because of my pro-Second Amendment stance, and I want to remember that when I ever get on the floor, the opportunity that I'm going to vote with my party as well as my constituents and their voice.
Forgive me, but you don't sound like someone who's going to be reaching across the aisle to try and arrive at a compromise with Democrats.
No, you couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay.
I've signed on to some bills with Democrats. There's actually a health licensing committee that I'm going to be joining, a caucus. Very good people with the social issues. I think I'm the kind of person who'd give you the shirt off my back, and I have to wind that back, you know, a little bit, because we can't, you know, our taxpayers are ultimately the people on the hook for this, these wonderful ideas and, you know, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner and after-school care and everything like that. You know, when does it come to a point? It's like, okay, I think the parents need to step in here and, you know, provide a meal every now and again, or after school care. Certainly we can help with stuff like that, but, you know, when does it go too far that our taxpayers, who maybe don't have children or children, raised their children and fed their children and took them to babysitters and paid babysitters to care for them, when do they get off the hook for some of these social issues? So, no, don't put me in that category of not reaching across the aisle. I certainly, there's some very good, very, very bright constituents on the other side that I would look forward to working with some of their ideas and their mindset. You know, when it comes to the more liberal end of the thing, I'm a no.
Well, what would you like to accomplish? In other words, if Joanne was in charge of the agenda, legislative agenda in the House of Representatives, what would be on the docket?
The docket is to get back into the majority. That's going to be my most important thing to help, like Mike run for Linda's seat.
Mike Stender, right?
Yes, Mike Stender. He's a nice guy, firefighter, good family man. To get him to get him in a winning position, to keep him in a winning position, to maintain all of our winning positions, and to get us back into the majority is probably a top priority for legislature, because we're really not going to get anywhere with what we're doing now at this point.
Okay, if you had the majority, what kind of legislation would you like to see move?
I'd like to see the Second Amendment protected. I'd like to reform maybe some of the abortion issues to go with more of my pro-life stance. But I being new into this situation, to see what we can do as a party is something I'm looking forward to, because I really think we can do some good things.
Right.
I really am concerned about some of the obstacles we have to jump through and the hoops from these non-elected officials in permitting. That's a concern of mine, that the hoops we go, the millions and millions of dollars we're spending on seven different agencies to approve one little bridge or infrastructure or anything like that, I think we need to really narrow that down and not have so many opinions, non-elected opinions, as to what's appropriate and what's not appropriate for infrastructure and building and helping to get our communities together. We really have no incentive for businesses to grow in our areas because it is a hassle. I sat in on a policy committee, and just to see the ups and downs, this one will say do it this way, this one will do it this way, this one will do it this way. It's like, what are these people, you know, seven different people have seven different opinions, and it's costing millions of dollars at a time. So I think if we could straight line some of those issues for people who want to come to our community and want to build in our community and open up, you know, whether it be tax incentives or even streamlining permitting, I think is a good idea.
Yeah, we hear that from a lot of folks. Kurt Mosser used to talk about that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, it's a joke.
With
it's an absolute
business
joke.
Background.
No common sense.
If Ben Reichle were here, he would say DEP stands for deny every permit. So.
Well, you know, that's what it is.
who are
these unelected officials making these decisions? That's what I'd like to say.
But the DEP would tell you they actually don't deny very many permits.
I always like what Governor Rendell used to say. He said, it used to be NIMBY, not in my backyard. He said it was banana, build absolutely nothing anywhere near anybody.
Okay, there you go. All right, so we got it from the Republican side of the table there. The DEPs need reform. Well, Senator, you all proposed a name change, but a reform measure, so maybe that'll go through and you'll get to see that if you haven't already. All right, we are talking to Joanne Stair. We'll open up the phone lines if you would like to talk to her. 107th District, a State House member. We have one emailed question, so we will have her answer that observation. You can call us, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Call us now, 570-743-9565. Email on the mark at WKOK.com. Text at 70236. If you have a question, go ahead, Joe.
All right. One of our listeners, Rob, says, I want to preface my question by saying that I only know Joe from his voice on the radio. I also want to say that I put about 600 miles a week on my company van, driving on highways and in towns. Drivers that speed are the greatest cause of accidents, near accidents, and upset drivers that I can see. Here's my question. When are local police departments going to be allowed to have radar. The money-making argument is very weak.
Oh, I thought he was going to tell you to slow down.
No.
That's funny.
Well, I've received lots of different opinions on the radar legislation, and I spoke to different police. Actually, Barry Joswick is a retired police officer, and said, you know, where do we stand on this? Is it good? Is it going to be a moneymaker for the local police forces? Are they actually going to take this money in? And do they, you know, should they have that authority? So that's going to be something that's coming up. There are radar questions.
But the Senate bill that is supported by the State Mayors mm-hmm. Association puts limits on how much money any municipality can make. And really, when you stop to think about it, isn't the legislature, by being the only state that doesn't allow municipal police to use radar, saying, in effect, that Pennsylvania's municipalities can't be trusted, that they're crooked, that all they're going to do is try and grab money out of this? Couldn't it possibly be that they're concerned about safety in their communities?
Exactly.
And even this is a passionate issue for me, even if we want to enforce it on local roads in the borough, we would have to submit that to PennDOT for them to come back and say the speed limit was reasonable. I mean, there are all sorts of safeguards in the Senate bill. It's the same bill, basically, mm-hmm. that was in the House last semester, but it just never seems to get out of committee.
And I think it's because there's a lot of people protesting it. They don't want to give the municipalities that that power, and they're calling it like a money grab kind of thing. So it'd have to come before me, and I'd have to see how it's written, how many thousands of amendments are added to it.
Right.
And before it came up for a vote, that I would make a decision on that. You know, certainly we need to protect our streets. I have lunatics driving by my house at 40 miles an hour on the other side of the road on a curve. You know, would I like to see municipalities?
It's a 15 mile per hour speed limit there.
Right.
Give me your address. I'll come by at high speed.
Yeah. You know, so it's certainly an issue. You know, people are afraid to cross the street.
Right.
Because you never know when some lunatic's going to come flying through.
Well, you've had 4 months now?
4 months.
How's the governor doing?
Well, I'm a little pleasantly surprised. I think some of his positions have been very favorable. One of them was streamlining for 6 months for permitting, you know, and I think there's good and bad and all of that. Like I said, I was a little pleasantly surprised with some of his things. There's lots of money coming to the state. I think that $5 billion rainy day fund will be probably depleted till the end of the year. Lots of people are getting lots of money. He is looking out for our farmers, which was a concern of mine. I think that's very important that we're looking out for them. Veterans, everybody's getting some money. Like the school districts and stuff like that, I really, you know, I don't know that our local school districts are getting the financial support we should be seeing. I think a lot of it is going towards the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh areas, as usual. I think, you know, they put lots of money into different things like that.
So. Right, a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. Legalizing pot has already come up, and taxing the heck out of it. Your view on that topic?
Well, that's an iffy subject. And I'm sure it's how it would be supported. And you know, the medical marijuana portion of it. Do I want people like that driving around with my 16-year-old son driving around? You know, it's an influence. Certainly it's an influence. Are there people who are seeing benefits from that? Absolutely. So, again, I think I would have to see how it's written up. And
we have a listener who's got a quick question. What is your question for our guest? Go ahead.
Okay, question for Joe. I mean, as far as like the businesses are concerned, what legislation can help them, like with tax breaks and all that kind of thing? And is that under your jurisdiction?
All right. Yeah, tax breaks for businesses to grow would be one thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Bobby.
You
know, that is something I certainly would support. To give the different infrastructures and different businesses come to our that tax incentive to grow in our certainly in the 107th.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. We'll give you a closing remark. Anything to add? Anything you want to talk about? Maybe we didn't ask.
Yeah, you got the floor here.
No. Well, I just wanted to give a shout out to my fellow Freedom Caucus members. I was told when I went down there by some of the establishment that don't tell anybody you're a Freedom Caucus member. And I said, that they said they'll put a target on you. And I said, well, everybody knows I'm a very conservative Republican. And I said, they not only can put a target on me, they can put a badge on me, because I will definitely wear it as a badge. I'm a proud Freedom Caucus member. I support our conservative values. And like I said, shout out to them to help us keeping on the straight and narrow for being more conservative. Although I do represent all, so I do represent, you know, the different opinions that we come across, but I'm more on the conservative side.
Well, there's an old expression that the minority gets its say, but the majority gets its way.
Right.
Do you subscribe to that?
100% I prescribe to that. That's exactly, and that's why we need to get the House back.
All right, well, I got a lot to say before you leave the building, but
sure.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure, Mark.
You got an open mic anytime, so do come back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Joanne Stair, 107th District State House member, still a freshman in Harrisburg, but her learning curve is straight up. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly opposed to me.
Oh, that's the truth. And buenos dias to you, sir.
Right. Common sense changes in radar laws that would make us safer is perennial.
That's
topic.
Exactly what they would do.
So Joanne Stairs is latest victim.
Joanne's a good egg. She'll come around.
Miss Lynn Hall is on the other side of the glass, our fabulous producer, so we appreciate her help. You can call us at 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK if you wish to ask anything about maybe what we talked about yesterday on the educational field, or maybe there's something today that Joanne Stair talked about. You can talk about we talked about legalizing pot, so she's going to bone up on that topic.
Oh, man, hey.
Yeah, Joe's all for it. Joe has a big crop in his basement. Legalizing radar for... Well, obviously, it's a joke, Joe. I don't think anybody's going to believe you.
Hey, what if they do? You're worried about somebody turning in false reports about me having a gun or being a threat to others.
Okay.
Why shouldn't I worry about you telling people I have a marijuana growth in my basement?
It's all good. Listen, somebody told me they're growing tons of medical marijuana in Shamokin Dam.
They are doing that, right?
Oh, okay. I just assumed it was you.
No, it's not.
Okay. So maybe something, she is pretty conservative, so maybe you wish to respond to that or endorse it is the most often thing she hears. And you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM. We would just love to hear from you today. Now, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. We've been sifting through the Sunbury Motor Company dealership to see the vehicles that they got there. So let's go back to the beginning and talk about some of the Fords. Ford EcoSport. We haven't talked too much about that, but it's a wonderful car. Ultra small. It averages 24 miles to the gallon. So on the highway, if you're pretty conservative, Joe's not a high miler, but I am, so I'll get 30 miles to the gallon. Joe will only get about 22, but it's an opportunity for you to enjoy a subcompact crossover SUV. That's what it is. It is all-wheel drive, so it's got a nice high stance, got a turbocharged three-cylinder engine, Joe. When you go to change the spark plugs, you only need three of them. You'll have an extra one left over in the four-pack, but it's an opportunity for you to get 24 miles to the gallon overall, but handling very nimble. It is a fun thing to drive. Yes, it does look a little bit like a pedal car that you had in kindergarten, but I'll tell you what, a very fun car. EcoSport, you can't pay more than $30,000 for it, even if you say yes to all their questions when you're ordering it at the Sunbury Motor Company. Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles, cars, and trucks, Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Let's let's do some very brief news headlines, but we would entertain your calls or emails now. Another phase of the Lewisburg Hufnagel Park project now underway. $2.5 million renovation of the rest of the park and a new amphitheater has started. Officials say the park project will make Hufnagel Park a destination for years to come. Work will also eliminate all stair steps and ramps there to improve accessibility throughout the park. It'll provide a safe pedestrian pickup and drop-off location at Market Street. Construction includes the expanded performance and event space with updated lighting, sound, and amphitheater seating. They're also accomplishing floodplain storage capacity, and that's increasing the space for Bull Run to flood during high water, and that'll make the flooding less severe downstream. They already know that it'll reduce the flooding a couple of inches downstream. The park will be closed during construction, as well as the parking lot that's there, the municipal parking lot that's right next to Hufnagel Park. But there's free parking on the other side of Market Street in a shaded free lot. Did I mention that? The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has agreed to hear aspects of that dispute involving Northumberland County versus Cole Township over hundreds of thousands of dollars for permit fees for the new Northumberland County jail. This was back in 2017 that this fight began, and now the state Supreme Court's going to take up certain aspects of this, so we'll keep you posted about that. The state Senate has confirmed three more of Governor Josh Shapiro's nominees to lead state agencies. Our correspondent Mark Sims has that story.
The Senate confirmed Mike Carroll as Secretary of PennDOT. Carroll previously served in the State House and was Democratic Chairman of the House Transportation Committee. The Senate also confirmed Rick Seiger as Secretary of Community and Economic Development. Most recently, Seiger served as Chief of Staff to the President of Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. In addition, the Senate confirmed the nomination of Jason Kovulich as Secretary of the Department of Aging. Before being nominated, Kovulich served as Director of the Lackawanna County Area Agency on Aging since 2016.
That's Mark Sims reporting from Harrisburg. He's also reporting on the Pennsylvania House lawmakers that approve some amendments to the gun laws being proposed in Harrisburg. Generally opposed to the gun law changes themselves, Republicans did sponsor, and there was a discussion, as you heard from Joanne Stair. And then these amendments were approved, two of them in particular being talked about by Pennsylvania Capital Star. One would make it a felony to file a false report if you're seeking a red flag law measure against someone else. If you file a false report or even make a false statement in an otherwise truthful report, it would be a felony lying in front of the court. It would also turn you over to the state attorney general and immigration if you fail a background check because of your immigration status. And, of course, a champion for these changes was State House Member David Rowe, who also found an obscure quirk in the law that it doesn't necessarily require, in order to get a red flag law violation against you, it doesn't require a myriad of elements. It would only require one element of the various aggravating factors, and one of which is that you recently bought a gun. So technically, an errant judge could remove the guns from anybody who just bought a gun. So David Rowe discovered that flaw in the law, and hopefully they'll get that fixed.
In the law.
Right.
You're a poet and don't know it.
Right, and this is what should happen, is that the law is being debated and talked about. They are not looking at other states' best practices yet, but they will. And so that's as good as it gets, I think, in Harrisburg. All right, a discussion. All right, finally, Joe, you'll appreciate this, a pretty cool discovery. The remains of a 19th century hospital and cemetery were found underwater in the Florida Keys. The hospital was used as a quarantine area on the island to treat people with yellow fever. The National Park Service says they've identified a graveyard to there as the Fort Jefferson Post Cemetery. It was on a small island. The island has since sunk into the water, but soldiers and military personnel are buried there, but it's underwater. It was all but forgotten about and discovered using sonar. to search the ocean bottom.
Ain't that fascinating?
How about that? I thought you might appreciate that. You'll have to bone up on that.
Yes.
You'll be happy to know the New York Post has a story about that today.
Incidentally, we were talking about education. We talked about it with Joanne, and I think there's an interesting story today out of the White House. Conservatives have skewered White House spokesman Karine Jean-Pierre for claiming that President Biden made it a priority to reopen schools after the COVID-19 lockdowns. Now, if you remember, the Democrats ran ads saying that the Republicans were being absolutely reckless trying to open these schools up. It's amazing how they're trying to rewrite history. She said, look, as in the past, kids have lost so much in this pandemic. This is why when the president walked in, he made a priority to open schools. One of the things that was important to do was to make sure that our kids who have lost so much were able to go back into school in person if they chose, have the resources that they needed to really succeed and move forward in their education. And of course, the Education Association, the teachers, blocked it, and the Biden administration went right along with it, and you had to drag Joe Biden into getting the schools open. But now they're claiming that he was the one who wanted them open. Amazing.
Okay. All right. Fox News at its best. Well, thank you for that. Much
appreciated.
Well,
she's right about the kids have lost so much, and we should be focused on what kinds of things we need to do to bring the kids back up. Yesterday, it was reported on CBS that eighth graders have scored the lowest in history since they started keeping records.
And you are offended by that.
I am offended by it.
Right. Well, and I think also our good caller Cindy talked about the fact that we do know what best practices are, but school districts won't implement them because they all have their own ways of doing things and they want to keep doing that. Nobody wants a state mandate that you have to do best practices. Like for a hospital, for example, you can't go in there and say, well, I only ever use two stitches on these appendectomy and that's the way I've always done it. You know, when they always say four is better and that's ideal and it prevents bleeding, you have to do best practices. And that's what you do at hospitals now.
Right.
But you don't have to do it in the classroom. You can just pick and choose.
On the other hand, there has to be a certain amount of experimentation because best practices today aren't what best practices were 20 years ago. You know, things do evolve and change. So there should be some element there for experimentation or to try different things. But I agree with you. As a general rule, best practices would certainly guarantee us, I hope, a better outcome.
All right. So to be continued. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. That's 570-743-WKOK. We got one caller patiently waiting. Actually, I doubt that he's being patient, but
he may not
he's
be.
Definitely waiting. So we'd love to hear from you.
He's armed and may be dangerous.
He's definitely not dangerous.
Well, he may be armed.
Unless cornered. 570-743-9565. Good morning, Stan. Yes, we're talking about you. Good morning.
Good morning. No, I'm not armed right now, but I could be if I needed to be. Anyway.
How about the dangerous part?
Only if somebody wants to be dangerous to me.
Okay.
Fair is fair, right?
Right.
Now, you were talking about the proposed changes in gun laws down there in Harrisburg and the red flag law. And I don't have a problem with making a false statement to the police to gain a confiscation under the red flag laws, a felony. That should be. I thought it was already illegal to lie to the cops.
It is. But it's enforced. According to DAs, the enforcement is spotty, believe it or not. So that's got to be fixed. You're right.
Okay. But was it a felony to lie to the cops before or to the courts? Or was it a misdemeanor?
No, I have no
idea. I don't know because I've never done it. So
it's a felony to lie to the FBI. It's called unsworn falsification.
Okay.
Right. I understand that. So that's wonderful to have that put into a law, but it has to be enforced then also. And that's where we usually seem to be lacking in a lot of this stuff. They put these laws out and only selectively enforce them. And that's where the problem is.
Maybe DAs need best practices.
It could be.
Well, that could be, too. Now you also said that they're hidden. I guess you said to Mr. Rowe up there in Williamsport, he said that there was hidden in that law that just somebody purchasing a firearm could get them a red flag.
Yeah, the law doesn't specifically spell out that you need a preponderance of aggravating factors, just that you need an aggravating factor. Well, one of them they put in is that somebody who buys a gun in anger, but the way that it's worded is somebody who buys a gun. So it would be anybody.
Now, I'm going to ask a simple question. Unless somebody comes into a shop screaming and ranting that they need to buy a gun now because of whatever reason, how's somebody going to know whether or not they're buying it because they're angry?
Right. Well, I guess that would be in the red flag testimony, is that somebody would testify. But that has to be clarified, you know, if David is right, you know, you can't just have it. Okay, well, you bought a gun. I feel you're irritated, Mark. You can't have it.
Yeah, that's what we call that, a slippery slope. Anyway,
if you're talking about Mr. Rowe, he's not from Lycoming County or Williamsport. He's from Snyder County.
Oh, is he? Okay, well, I'm not
County.
Over that way, so I don't know. So
he's from
sorry.
Union County.
Well, he represents Snyder County.
Okay, well, I'm not in Snyder County, so I wouldn't know that. But okay, well, at least he's looking at it and they're reading it. So because you know they're going to pass it in the House. They have the control.
Right.
Okay. Unless there's some sensible Democrats there, which, anyways, we won't go there. So, but that's not really the reason I called. I don't know whether you said anything to it the first half hour. I was kind of sitting busy in the dentist chair, but,
yes,
well, I wasn't
we did.
Busy. Anyways, what's the deal with the Biden pay to play deal and his, that's coming out while he was VP?
That's a good question.
There's a whistleblower. Doesn't sound good.
Well, there are issues. There are certainly issues.
I think impeachment might be on his future. Now, whether it's removable, whether he's removed, that's a whole other question. But this is, definitely he's getting enriching himself on the backs of the American people by selling them out.
Gentlemen, I'm not familiar with this topic. Please fill me in.
Oh, well, you need to look into it. Senator Grassley and I think Comer in the House were contacted by a whistleblower that says that the FBI is in possession of evidence that Biden, and it's on one of the 203s or whatever the reports are, that a confidential informant came to them and the FBI wrote it up on the paperwork they're supposed to, and it's not classified, that Biden was involved with a pay-to-play scheme. And it's also been reported that it had something to do with Ukraine and Burisma and all that.
And they filed, the Republican Congressional Committee filed a right-to-know request with the FBI.
Okay.
And the FBI apparently is stonewalling the request.
What?
Imagine that.
The weaponization and politicization of the FBI?
Not only that.
How long has been that going on?
Not only that, but did you read, and I read this morning too, the manifesto from the Nashville transgender shooter is not going to be released now because somebody filed a lawsuit to stop it. Now, let me tell you what would happen if that was a MAGA conservative who shot up someplace.
I'd have a meltdown.
And had a manifesto, and they didn't release it. Well, first of all, it would have been released within minutes after he fired the shot.
Right. There would have been no questions. Would have been just out there.
Right.
We know.
Oh, brother. Come on, man.
It's the truth.
Well, we know that. It's the truth.
Right. It's
the
truth.
It's absolute truth.
Right.
And you know it, Mark. Don't try and say you don't.
Welcome.
You know that's exactly what would happen.
Welcome to the GOP alternate reality. Ooh,
No, because it has happened. Dylan Roof down there when he shot up that church in wherever it was, he had some sort of manifesto. That was out almost immediately.
Yeah, I think unfair law enforcement is a bipartisan issue. I honestly don't think it's just liberals or transgenders. I think universal.
Yeah, but the people that control it, I mean, the cops themselves, I'm sure, would want it out there.
Well, all I need to do
but
is point out...
who's in charge?
All I need to do is point out the young gentleman from the Catholic high school who was standing silently in Washington, D.C. when a Native American came up and banged a drum in front of him. Suddenly, he was the aggressor, and he was the one that was causing the problem. And they
wound up
suing, so the media went wild immediately without knowing the
Has
facts.
Has that lawsuit been dismissed yet?
No, he's collected a good bit of money from the people who did it.
Settled or something.
It settled, for millions. So this is, this happened when Nashville was a month or so ago.
Yep.
At least, and we still all we know it was a trans. Well, it was a woman that thought she was a man. At least that's what she portrayed herself as. Went out and purchased firearms, up to seven. I heard before that, leading up to this, it wasn't within weeks or days. It was within months. And there's other information that she had a pile of cell phones and journals and stuff. So there's a lot of information that's not being released that would normally be released.
Right.
We want to see it. I want it all.
All right. We got you. Anything else, sir?
You all have a great day.
Hey,
no,
you too,
I'm
buddy.
Good.
Stay
have a good
in touch.
One.
Thank you.
Hope
so
you
much.
Made out well at the dentist office.
Well,
one thing's for sure, your wallet's a lot lighter than it was when you went in.
His wallet is lighter, but he's not ridiculously numbed up because he spoke satisfactorily. So, all right. We got three texts there, Joe. Read those.
All right. The logistics will be to help the crooked Biden administration move
illegals.
Oh, this
illegals. Is President Biden announced some 1,500 National Guardsmen going to the southern border.
Okay. The logistics will be to help the crooked Biden administration move illegals around and taking care of supply needs. Just more idiocy at the border.
And well, then, now, let me ask you this question. How long is the border? About 2,000 miles or
it's
something?
It's pretty long, yeah,
okay,
somewhere
so
in that neighborhood.
Well, let's just guess it's 2,000. I don't know what it is. But if you put 1,500 troops there, what's that, one every mile and a quarter?
Well, it said they're not going to be doing any law enforcement work. They're going to be there for clerical and support type work.
One every mile and a third. So, Joe, if we were in a densely wooded area and I had one person on one side of the woods and another one a mile away, do you think you could sneak in a half mile in between?
I probably could get past you.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be.
But there are
anything.
Also some Texas National Guardsmen at the border, too. I think there are more of them. I think there are around 2,500 of them.
Well, the funny thing is the president has taken some cursory steps that relate to the southern border, but nothing that's actually going to significantly solve anything. And, you know, you need, like President Trump was doing, aggressive solutions. If you didn't like President Trump's solutions, that's fine. You know, come up with your own and impose those. But we're really not getting anything. And Kamala Harris didn't actually solve the border crisis. You probably didn't notice, but that is...
Oh, I noticed
oh,
that she
did?
Didn't
okay.
do it. She's only
okay.
been there once.
Right. If I she mean, had, she'd be a hero in the whole nation.
You put a picture of incompetence in the dictionary,
oh, okay.
and it would be the current president and vice president.
Okay. Okay,
and
well.
Certainly with respect to the border issue.
Well, they're good at getting elected.
So far, so.
So good. Okay. Another text.
That reminds me of that. I heard a funny story the other day about a guy who jumped out of a fifth floor window, and as he passed each floor, he said, so far, so good.
Yeah. It's not the 50 feet that bothers you. It's the last one.
Yeah, right.
That last foot is a doozer.
Yep. So, I mean, the problem with the Biden administration is that it lacks the will. I mean, for whatever reason. And unless, you know, it's terrible to say, people who are on the left get very upset when I say to them, or anybody says to them, they're just interested in getting more voters. I've heard that the Catholic Church supports it because they want more Catholics in the country. You know, but the simple fact is nobody is doing what needs to be done,
right.
which is closing the border and requiring people who want to come into this country to come in legally and taking care of removing those who have come here illegally. I mean, let's face it,
gotcha.
We can't de 75,000 people in a week. I mean, that's like that's like more than the city of Harrisburg coming in every couple of days.
Let's talk about the low unemployment rate or inflation going down. That's what President Biden's going to do. If you ask him about the southern border, he's going to change the subject.
Well, they do
say,
change the
we
subject.
We did a few things, but I'll tell you what, unemployment is still low.
Well, it is. But when we start, unemployment may be low, but what about the welfare rolls? What about all the costs associated with these people who have no skills that they can bring here to this country? Most of them don't speak English. They've come across, yes, they're looking for a better life, but what have they done other than cross the border illegally to get that better life?
It's time to take a break.
Oh, okay.
That's what they'll say. They'll change the subject.
Okay.
Let's talk
just
about,
as you did.
We're going to talk about low unemployment tomorrow on Financial Friday, but today it's everything else. Give us a buzz today. We'd love to chit-chat with you. All four lines are open, which means there's no waiting for you to get on the radio. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. President Biden has imposed a number of cursory measures that hopefully will help stem the flow of individuals coming in the U.S. illegally, but we still got a big fentanyl pipeline that's thought to be cargo coming into the U.S. over the border, and we still have individuals coming in. Big dilemma in the U.S., completely unsolved. So what's your view on that topic or other topics? 570-743-9565. One of our listeners says, President Biden sending about 1,500 troops to the southern border. I'm assuming he's activated the National Guard, but not to protect the border, but to do logistics. Yeah, that's what Joe said, too. And another listener says, good morning. I think teachers are leaving because of gun violence and low pay, says Bob. So thank you for that text. All right, 570-743-9565. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
No,
that's fine.
But it's the one I bought and put in it.
All right. I'll just go to the phones.
All right.
Harry, go ahead. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I had to laugh this morning at one of the news things on CBS when they said that they thought the Russians claimed that the U.S. had been the mastermind behind the drone attack. I can't picture anybody in the Biden administration that could be classified as a mastermind. It kind of brought a chuckle to me.
Well, maybe it was somebody. Maybe it was somebody in the Joint Chiefs of Staff or something. It wouldn't have to be the White House itself.
Well, yeah, but I guess.
I
wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, as this Title 42 ends and you have an influx of immigrants, illegal immigrants coming across, I think that we, a big part of that story that gets missed isn't just the people coming across. That's all we ever talk about with the illegal immigration boondoggle. But one of the biggest things that gets overlooked is that, what was his name, Esparezo, the guy down in Texas who shot the family of five because they didn't want him to shoot his gun in the yard because they had a baby sleeping.
Right.
He had been deported four times from 2009 to 2016.
He had been deported. Yep.
And he came back. And now, you know, we keep talking about the people that they keep coming across, but we don't talk about the fact that we not only can't enforce the any laws against it coming in, we can't enforce them keeping them out. How can you not have a policy? It's kind of like the Department of Energy has been a great failure since Carter put it in what was that, 1981, 80 or 81? And here we are with the immigration policy. You know, I don't even know why they're going to send National Guard troops down there or why they have any border security, because we don't stop anybody. Just open it up. Let them all come in. I mean, it's like letting the, you know, it just boggles the mind that nobody sees the fact that what we are doing is we are allowing an invasion of this country.
Harry.
That's right.
Democratic voters don't care. Sorry.
Well, you know, yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, at this point, you know, it's not just people coming across. And I'm only a third generation American. My mom's parents were the first ones born in this country, so I have a healthy respect for immigration. It has nothing to do with that. I have a healthy respect for that. But everybody who came across and did things the right way, and people who still do it and come across the right way, they're actually the ones getting punished, because all you have to do is just throw your arms up, say, I'm coming across. Out of 100 people, 90 of them are going to make it. They integrate themselves into society and start taking money from all kinds of systems and programs, things that you or I couldn't get. Nobody sees that as a problem. I just don't get it.
Harry.
I just get it.
Harry, Democratic voters don't care enough.
I you know, but how do we get people to open their eyes?
Well, first you'd have to want to open your eyes.
Yeah,
you'd have to be willing to accept.
That's true.
You know, it really relates to everything else. You know, President Biden obviously is failing in the southern border. Okay, so that's that. But he's probably viewed as being successful in many other areas, trying to get his packages through Washington and trying to get inflation back down, albeit at a cost. That's higher inflation rates. So I think he's being widely viewed as being successful in a wide range of other areas, including working on trying to get a national border abortion law through the Congress. So, a pro-choice law through the U.S. Congress. So I think Democrats would say, well, yes, he's certainly bad at some things, but he's okay at others. But he's not a Republican, so you know he's not going to.
Well, let's see. There you touched on it. If the whole reason Title 42 is going away is because Trump was for it. If Trump had been against it, it would be kept. It's a really, really sad way to govern a country. And I can't believe, and I know you're right. I know you're right. And that's, I'm not questioning you saying it. But I can't believe that people can look at policies that Clueless Joe has and think that he's doing anything good. I mean, it just, nobody is doing better than they were 2 or 3 years ago. Nobody.
All right.
Nobody in the We the People. There isn't one person. And to lower inflation, the only reason they've lowered inflation is the cost of everything else as far as bank rates and everything else going up. That doesn't help anybody either. You can't afford to buy a house, but hey, guess what? It only costs you 8% more to buy eggs than it did 2 years ago when 6 months ago it was 10%. How does that help anybody?
All right, we got
you,
sir.
Well, it really doesn't.
Oh, CD rates.
Yeah.
Harry, if there's any money left in your savings account, CD rates are back up. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you happy now?
Momentarily, anyhow.
Right. All right. Thank you, Harry. Thanks for calling back up. Yeah, I saw 4% CD. Is that the highest around here these days?
In that neighborhood, yes.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Hold on, callers. Please be patient. We'll be right back. Spinning.
I'm sorry.
It's no problem. Joe's trying to explain some
short
financial.
Selling. Short selling to you.
Well, and then some. Let's see. Oh, Joseph has been waiting. Here I am, dilly-dallying. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Good morning, gentlemen. You know, you all and everybody that calls in complains about the Biden administration, how corrupt they are and everything, and they blame us all this stuff on Biden and so forth. What really bothers me is that it's the people that put them in office. He got more votes than any president ever got, they say, in the United States of America. Hillary Clinton, she had the popular vote, okay? I'm talking about the people who put these people in office, and especially this one, when Lesbian Lightfoot was out in Chicago, as bad as she was, they got this other guy in there as mayor, and he's even more liberal than she was. And I can't understand that for the life of me. People live in that city of Chicago with all the violence and murders and robbery. Why would they do that? What's the matter with the people?
It's because they're not Republicans. That's
you don't remember the definition.
I'm not talking Democrat or Republican. I'm just saying the people at large, what's the matter with them? That
Joseph.
They would vote someone in that knows their reputation. And, you know, we need someone that's going to uphold the law, right?
Remember the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Well, I guess you're right. But it kind of, I'm telling you what it reminds me of is the back years ago in Sodom and Gomorrah,
it said the whole
community, all from all corners of Sodom, came to Lot's house and wanted to have relations with these angels. So it was a universal thing with the people. They were so corrupt.
Same thing happened in
Chicago. And we're living to that day now. And
right.
So that's
Except
my take
too
on
many
this
angels
thing
in
here.
Chicago.
I guarantee you, if something doesn't happen to Biden and he runs again, if he's halfway capable of talking, he'll get in. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep. Well, because he's not a Republican. He's not going to be a Ron DeSantis or a Donald Trump, and so he'll get in. I'll vote for him, too. I would never vote for Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis if you have the choice.
You wouldn't, Mark.
I would not, no, never
you
in a million
vote for
years.
For Biden instead of Trump?
Right, because he's just a vessel for Democratic ideals. He obviously isn't sharp enough or implementing all the...
Do you like his ideals?
Well, some of his ideas are okay.
I can't see too many of them that I like.
Well, we'll get into all of them later when there's not another caller waiting.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think people are going to vote for him. If Trump wins the nomination, people will have no qualms at all about putting Biden back in.
If DeSantis wins, I think you're
going to have a horse race there. Then you're
it's where the world is today and public, you know, sentiment. Joe, yesterday I called back to, and you didn't give me a couple of seconds, that I wanted to say a comment on that lady that called. She had a very good call. I don't think she ever called before that I know of. She was talking about her son going to a Christian school and growing up in the Navy or something as a penny officer. Remember that call?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, she had. And you answered the question. How come there's this disorder in Christian schools? Why is there a discipline problem even in Christian schools? And, of course, I don't think she gave you she did give you an answer that she was a born-again believer and so was their son. But that doesn't give you an answer why there still is a discipline problem in Christian schools. And the answer is simply this, that they hear the word of the Almighty in the Christian schools, but they don't obey it. And that's why you have disorder there, too.
You did say that yesterday. You did get it in.
Yeah, you got that in.
You cut me off there, and the thing was jinging. And
oh, we could hear you, though.
We got you.
Okay, well, that's the problem. And even the Savior said, you'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not did this and did that? And he'll say, I don't know you.
All right.
Well, he's talking to Christians there that don't obey him. And that's the problem in Christian schools, is they're simply not obeying the Bible, you know, obeying his words.
All right, we got you, Joseph. Thank you so much,
yeah,
sir.
Thank
Every
you.
Christian
yeah.
school that's obeying the Bible, there are no problems at all.
Well,
you think that would be among the best practices that we identified.
Best practices, dear or not. Chris, thank you so much for calling in. It must have been a torturous past couple of days listening, but now we're going to hear the truth.
It was pretty pathetic.
Please, go ahead. I do the best I can. Come on.
Well, first of all, about the school scores on history and, as science, math, and reading have been emphasized, social studies has been de-emphasized. And that's one reason that the scores were lower, especially in civics and social history. Two of the questions I found, I didn't find too many people who listed details about that, what questions they were asking, but two that got mentioned was, one was, they didn't know about the bad working conditions in the 1800s, really extending up to at least half of the last century, in my opinion. And another one was they couldn't name two things in the Constitution that were that concerned Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech. Well, if you can't say bad stuff about America and history, and you can't say black or discuss racial issues without causing an uproar because of right-wing malfeasance, in my opinion, you end up with people who don't know these things.
I don't think anybody's blocking discussing Dr. King's speeches.
Well, he can't say black, you know.
Oh, that's got nothing to do with Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement. You can talk about the Civil Rights Movement.
But the right wing is leaning, not teaching stuff that's bad about American history.
There's nothing bad about
insulting America.
There's nothing bad about what Dr. King did. What's bad is what the FBI tried to do to him. That's the kind of stuff that should be taught.
What's bad is the situation in the country with racial discrimination. That was what the main bad thing was.
Okay, well, that's, you know, there certainly was plenty of coverage of it at the time. You couldn't have turned on the TV set without seeing
it. Yeah, they weren't the people who taking the 8th grade test did not, they weren't alive in that time.
Okay, but so whose fault is that?
That's my point.
We've been teaching history for a long time before we discussed being woke. So we've been teaching it since, what? Reading, writing, arithmetic, and history? We've probably been teaching it since the 1700s. Although what was known
is... But now if you say bad things about America in school, the right wing does not like it.
Well, what bad things do you want to say? What are the bad things about America? What are the bad things you don't like?
Well, talk shows that don't have any facts in them.
That's an opinion.
No, I don't want to get into that. That's completely different. The thing is, I think it's a good thing. All those bad things are actually good things that we've improved. And, you know, and a lot of it was done by the government. And, of course, we can't say good things about the government either because, you know, government is bad and should be minimized and it interferes in people's lives. That's all part of the right-wing agenda.
And look at those right-wingers. They're the ones who gave the black people the right to vote and gave women the right to vote. It wasn't Democrats or Southerners.
No.
Oh, yes.
It was liberal Republicans and liberal Democrats who combined to do it. And we were the Democrats were double-crossing their, were hurting their own party by doing it. And the Republicans went and got all those racist votes they could.
How many Democrats voted for the Civil Rights Act of 1964?
A lot?
Go back and check that out.
I believe.
34? All right, you men look that up.
I looked it up a couple times in the Senate. In the House, it was more, I think.
How many Democrats voted for the Civil Rights Act in 1964?
I've looked that up, the various civil rights bills. Yeah, there's
okay,
like
Google.
Four of them, or three or four of them. So
how many Democrats voted for the Civil Rights Act in 1964?
The other thing I wanted to get to was Audrey Hale, the school shooter, and her manifesto.
The Senate version voted on by the House Democratic Party, 153-91, 63-37%, Republican Party. 136-35, 80%.
Right. 80% of Republicans, 63% of Democrats.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have passed without those terrible
lot,
Republicans.
Among
it's
Democrats,
exactly
217
like
to 54 in the House. In the Senate, 49-17. So most of the Democrats. So what was your point? Let's suppose you had won that, which you didn't.
I did. The point I was trying to make is that there have been, he said the government is bad. I'm saying that a lot of things did get done
and
well.
The Republican Party of then is not the Republican Party of now.
And
now,
neither
can
the
I go on to Audrey Hale?
Neither's the Democratic Party.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah, that's way true. Okay, Audrey Hale, please, go right ahead.
The manifesto.
Oh, okay, the transgender shooter, okay.
It's the cops have announced they're going to release it when they finish going through it. There's a Republican senator, I think, or representative who claims it's the FBI holding it up. There is some rumors that they think it would be dangerous and might start a wave of terrorism because... But there are also 20 journals, 5 laptops full of this stuff. And they're going through all of it before they release it, apparently. And they have announced they will release it when they're done going through it.
You've missed
and
today's
it's not
news.
The FBI, it's the local cops in the.
You've
in
missed.
The,
you do usually have some idea of what's going on, but here you're out of touch. It was released today that they are not releasing it, the police have said, because someone filed a lawsuit to block it.
Well, I guess if they block it, they have a lawsuit, I imagine it'll get thrown out, but they'll lose. But if they're doing it because of the lawsuit, there's a judge stay on it, then I guess you can't do much. But it's not the conspiracy that your crazy Stan has pretended it is, because in his heart he knows it's the FBI doing it. He knows it's the liberals holding it up.
No, I don't think Stan said that at all. I think our point was that it had been a MAGA person, the people on the left would have been screaming for its release immediately, and it would have been released.
Oh, brother. Based on evidence,
yeah,
none.
That's all theoretical nonsense.
Right, exactly.
Right,
thank
of
you.
Course.
Yeah, better said.
The Democrats, the liberals would just love holding it all up until the MAGA people could be absolutely confirmed as being responsible. Sure. Tell me another one.
What?
It's an
holding
alternate
up,
reality.
Holding it up or waiting for it?
Chris, you can't argue. It's not real. Move
it is
on.
Real.
Yeah.
Move
well,
on.
Yeah, don't
and
argue.
I, and I suppose Tucker Carlson wasn't racist and things like that.
And he hated
too, right?
to use the C word. It's all false.
Was Tucker Carlson racist because he said white men don't fight like that? That makes him an absolute racist. No redemption. Absolute racist. Absolute positive proof that he's a racist.
Well, what's the implication? White people are better and too honorable to do that, but other people aren't. That's clear. Can't you see that?
I'm not saying that obvious. That makes... I'm saying that's an opinion about one specific incident. I'm not saying that defines the man's character forevermore.
Look at what he's been reporting. He either believes it or he doesn't believe it, and he's just doing it for money. Or he believes it and he's doing it for money.
Well, just sort of like Hunter Biden selling his artwork for money.
Yeah.
But he doesn't remember who bought it or how much they paid.
but what's that got to do with anything? That's just not
talking
that,
about making money. Like, you're talking about making money. I'm talking about making money too. You're saying that Tucker Carlson sold out his ideals for money. I'm telling you, other people do the same thing.
Going on television and saying what you don't believe in private, not being, or the racist attitude of that show is and his private emails show that he was racist.
They also show he was
racist.
You're going to say he was misogynistic too, because
or he's trying to appeal to racism.
Was he misogynistic?
He's obviously very interested in white supremacy.
Oh yeah, he's an absolute white supremacist. He's got the white hood, the robe, the whole works.
Okay, I'm glad you agree with me.
Right. And Joe Biden's a paragon of virtue.
And your guest this morning, every difficult, controversial issue, she talked her way around without giving her a position. She knows what she wants in for the abortion law to be. She was obviously going for the maximum she could get, but didn't want to publicize it.
Well, and, when she said right out...
And what was the Republican... What did she want to do if she got elected? Oh, I want to do a lot of good things.
What does the Freedom Caucus stand for when it comes to abortion, Chris?
What?
What does the Freedom Caucus stand for when it comes to abortion?
I don't
Zero.
Know.
No abortions.
No abortions. Right. And she admits she's a member of the Freedom Caucus, so I hardly
but
think
she
was...
wouldn't say that, did she?
She did. Chris, pay attention.
She wouldn't
no,
say
she
what,
didn't say
what
it.
She said she was an absolute...
What her idea of
see,
the
you can't,
correct
you can't talk to Chris.
Position was.
She said she was an absolute supporter of the Freedom Caucus. That
right.
defines
well,
her position.
She, she doesn't want any abortions at all except... maybe or definitely for the health of health of the child or the health of the mother.
All right.
She didn't. She could have easily said that if that was her position.
Chris, we got to hit
but
the road.
But she didn't want to.
Right. She did the same thing with She did
and
the same thing with legalized marijuana.
The marijuana. Oh, I have to know the details of it. I have no opinion on that really until I see a bill.
Well, that's
right. Right.
That's the truth
she's
anyway.
She's a real stand-up person.
That's right. Forgive her for saying that she doesn't want to tell you how she'd vote on a bill until she sees it. That's not like the good Democrats who say we have to pass this bill to know what's in it. It's like the Democrats who say we have to pass this bill to know what's in it. She wants to know what's in it before she passes it. I think that makes her pretty smart.
You two have to disengage, Chris.
Right, Joe. I'm not saying she's dumb at all. She's smart to muddy her position because the Republican position on those things are probably very unpopular. The Freedom Caucus positions on most things is very unpopular.
And yet she admits she's a member of that group.
She's not saying it.
She may admit she's a member of that group, and you're saying
well,
that's
running in a primary. She needs those Freedom Caucus votes.
She's not running.
Come on, Joe.
She's not running for anything
you're
right now.
Smarter than that.
She's not running for anything right now.
We got to hit the road, man.
All right. Well, you said that 5 minutes ago.
Well,
cut him off.
Well, I don't want to cut off Chris. He's a good
You cut me
call.
Off. Cut him off.
Well, I didn't cut you off.
Hey, Chris, have a great weekend.
One,
always fun to talk to you, Chris. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
You'll have to bring Chris in. You will need a co-host in the months ahead. We'll put Chris in here. Ask him if he wants to come in. Chris, send me an email. Would you be willing to come in and be a co-host with Joe? 570-743-9561.
You better find somebody to replace Joe, too.
Joe has his hands folded. He's got his grumpy face on again. 570-743-9565. All four lines are open. We'll have time for one more caller.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Time for the Dan Patrick Show. We join the DP Show, already in progress. Joe, enjoy your fabulous...
Thank you.
...extended retirement lengthened weekend. Thank you so much, Lynn Hall. We'll see you tomorrow. We have Financial Friday with the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce tomorrow. This is WKOK Sunbury.